Okay, we're going. Okay, Perek Nun Aleph Pasuk Vav. Nutzu mitoch bavel umaltu ish nafsho. Al tidamu ba'avona. Ki es nekama hi l'Hashem gemul hu mishalem la. He's now, as he's been saying for most of this book, to warn the Israelites for the impending doom. Now it's time for God to warn the Babylonians for their impending doom, for what they did to Jerusalem. So he says that they will now have to escape and run for their lives. And even though they were the rod of God's wrath, like Paro was in Egypt, either because they went overboard or because they looked at it as their own strength without seeing themselves as the messenger of God's historical purpose. So now they will have the gmul hu mishalem la. They will get what they deserve. Kos zahav bavel biyad Hashem mishakeres kol haaretz. We are in a good position to understand these prophecies very, very well, because if you recall, back in chapter 25 and chapter 27, Yirmiyahu told the nations of the world that you have to drink from the poisonous cup that Babylonia is passing around the world. Right? And every nation will have to drink from it. The nations that don't drink from it will fare worse. Right? There's a cleansing that's needed, and this is what is happening now. Yirmiyahu is told, he's telling Bavel, now you will drink from a cup yourself. Right? This can be manifest perhaps in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar himself in Sefer Daniel. Do you remember it? Nebuchadnezzar was very disturbed by a nighttime vision, and he couldn't remember what his dream was. This is even worse than Paro. At least Paro remembered his dream. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember his dream. And he called all his wise men and all his soothsayers, and he said, I have a terrible dream, explain it to me. And they said, yes, sire, tell us what the dream was, and we'll be happy to explain it. And they said, but I don't remember it. He goes, so how are we supposed to tell you what it means if you don't tell us what the dream was? And he got angry, and he said, what am I paying all you people for? You're all charlatans. Tell me what my dream is, and tell me what it means. And they said, that's not in the realm of the possible. He goes, you're supposed to be doing anything. You're the best magicians in the world. Tell me what it means. And he got angry. He said, he's going to kill all of them unless one of them reveals what the dream is.
So right? Well, somebody made one up.
He didn't say anything.
He tells them in the text, are you cold there? It's blowing on you? Okay.
That's okay.
He says, I may not know what it is now, but I'll know it if you're making it up.
If you hear it.
Right? When I hear it, I'll recognize it. Mm-hmm.
So, but maybe somebody else.
It's also blowing from here.
No, it's only over here.
No, it's that.
It's okay. Of course it's
that.
That's why I closed it. So he said, I'll kill you if you don't tell me what the dream was. And don't try to make one up, because I'll know what it wasn't. Right? So they're all very shaken by this. And Daniel prays to God for the vision, and he's told the vision. You would think that he saved the day for all the other soothsayers and they'd be happy for the Jewish interpretation. Instead, they became jealous, as often happens in history. But Lamaisa, this was a dream. Nebuchadnezzar dreams of a figure that rises out of the earth that is made of many different objects as it gets from the feet to the head. And as it moves, the feet are made of clay. And as it moves up the body, it keeps being made of better material. Right? It goes from metal to brass to silver to gold. And the top of it is pure gold. And the figure rolls over everything in its path, destroys everything in its wake. And then the figure itself breaks, including the head. So Daniel explains that the vision is sort of like Hadgadia, if you understand. The vision is that these are various nations that have come and gone and powers of the world, and you are the greatest power that has come to the world until this day. Which, of course, impressed Nebuchadnezzar very much, right? But alas, you too shall fall.
Because he's made of clay. because there's no foundation. Okay.
So what? When Nebuchadnezzar hears this, you'd think that he'd dismiss it and say, "How dare you interpret a dream that's not fully positive for me?" Can you figure out why Nebuchadnezzar didn't say that? At least Yosef interpreted Paro's dreams in a way which was quite negative in its ending, but he had a good advice to him for how to use this insider information to help your nation. Right? Why would Nebuchadnezzar reacted very positively to Daniel's interpretation? You see, if Nebuchadnezzar had remembered the dream, and then Daniel gave this interpretation, he'd be angry. Once Daniel told him what the dream was, and gave such a plausible interpretation of it, Nebuchadnezzar cannot blame him for the interpretation. It was, after all, my dream. But that's part of the story, is that Nebuchadnezzar was so impressed with the fact that he alone, amongst all of those hundreds of magicians, was the only one to actually say the dream, not be afraid, according to the way that Nebuchadnezzar then afterwards remembered it, he was ready for any interpretation, really. So why do I say this? It's because the end, his being broken, is this cup, this golden cup. You pass the cup around, a poison around the world for everyone to drink, and in the end,
therefore the nations are made.
You're going to drink from this cup as well, Persia. Okay. And exactly, you know what? This is a very important chapter because it fits very well into chapter 5 of Sefer Daniel. Pidon nafla bavel v'tishaver. Hililu aleha kechut sari l'machova ulai terafei. They shall fall suddenly. There'll be a great rejoicing in the world when they fall because of all the treachery and all of the havoc that they wrought. Now, this is exactly the story of chapter 5 of Daniel. When Belshazzar was reveling and enjoying all of the vessels of the temple. This is not Medrash. Achashverosh enjoying the temple vessels, that's Medrash. But Belshazzar enjoying it is the text. And all of a sudden, remember what happened? Can you explain this in any way but miraculously? Oh, well, we have to review this stuff. A hand came out. Wrote something, wrote something on the wall, no one could read it. Now, those words are simple Aramaic words. Why couldn't they read it? Because it was written in characters they couldn't read. And if I spell good morning in English with Hebrew characters, right, good morning, someone who doesn't read Hebrew is not going to know what that means. They may, if I read it to them, they'll figure it out. So it's a play on words between paras, a farsin, sounds like paras, and the word for ripping apart, which is lifros. Right? So he's saying it shall happen suddenly. That very night, the Persians came to town. And Darius took over. So he's just saying that it'll happen quickly. Vipinu es bavel balo nirpasa. Yisvu ben elech ishlatzo, ki nagad lo shemayim mishpatak, v'nisa ad shchakim. Vipinu here can mean, like it meant earlier in the book, some kind of superficial healing. The Targum Asena, like Asa, means a doctor in Aramaic. So it means superficial healing. Or the Rapino can mean to weaken. Okay, we had it it could fit in, both interpretations could fit in. The false prophet superficially healed the wounds of the Israelites by telling them just what they wanted to hear. Or it can mean they weakened the Israelites. Rafa means to weaken with a hay. Rafa with an olive means to heal, and they're used quite interchangeably in this book. Okay. Hotzi Hashem es tzidko sein bo nesapra b'tzion es maseh Hashem lokeinu. So the righteousness is that it's right to do is to punish the Babylonians for what they did to us. Right. Steve, would you start us off with this? No, I'll read one more because you were boring there. Aveiru achitzim milu hashlotim. Now this is before this is happening. Yirmiyahu is not just reading the world geopolitical situation. He has inside information that you're going to get it from the Babylonians. I'm sorry, from the Persians. He calls it here the Medes, Madai. Chel Paras Umadai. They joined together to destroy the Babylonians. The vengeance of God. Right? What does that mean? Yeah, he's taking vengeance out of his Echal, which was destroyed by these people. Okay, now see. New base. Okay, the upshot of this pasuk is that the walls of Babel, which heretofore had been so impenetrable, shall fall. Right? The Shomrim, who are in charge of guarding the wall, wall always has guards every so you know, to look out far to see if there are marauders coming. They'll be helpless to protect the wall. Okay, this is what God says about the residents of Babel. Their time has come. Okay, now during the time of this book, it wasn't the Metzias at the moment, but it will be, right? Some years hence. Okay. Janine, would you read your Gimel 13? Sure. Yes, Shochanti, yes.
Shochanti Armadim Habi Haros Hotzoros Bo Kitzir Hameis Botzer.
Okay. So Shochanti is usually a Shochanti. Doc explains that it's more emphatic. Shochanti Amaim Rabim Rabas Hotzoros Bo Kitzir Hamas Bitzeich. Means the end of the pasuk means your end is coming. Amas bitzeich is you're measuring out your end to your purpose. Okay, but what is shochanti amayim rabim rabas otzaros? Is don't forget is that Iraq resides on a huge water repository, namely the Euphrates, the Paras, right? The Pras. So he's saying, you know, it was just like the Nile was to Egypt, was the Euphrates to Babel, and to Asher before it. Remember in Perek Beis where Yirmiyahu was complaining? This week, we just read it after with this past Shabbos. Why are you going up to Asher to drink from the Euphrates? Why are you going down to Egypt to drink from the Nile when you have a perfect repository of water in your own nation? Why do they have a broken cistern? Pasuk Yudalit, would you like to read the call?
No.
If you want to know where that terminology comes from, here it is. It's like a cheer. Okay, so God swears his own soul. I am filling up Melisicha Adam Kayelek. It's an unusual metaphor. A yelek usually just devours and it fills up a whole section of a field. The yelek is a type of locust. There are all types of locusts depending on what type of teeth they have, different names in the Bible. Arba, if they're in the multitude, the largest number of locusts is arba, but they don't do so much damage individually. The damage they do is because there's so many of them. The real damaging locusts are called yelek and gazam. Gazam is the slices. It's very sharp teeth and jaws. The chasil may be the worst of all, because chasal means to finish it off. They don't have they're the ones that just with the other locusts leave behind, they finish off to there's nothing. That's why it's called chesil. And the yelek, which we're talking about here, is the one that just laps it up. They're the most damaging of all of them.
In English, it's called
cackleworm.
Cankerworm.
Okay, yeah. It's a type of devouring insect. Right. And usually when they come, Yirmiyahu was being very, here might be even onomatopoetical. When locusts come, it makes a huge, huge noise.
Okay.
You've been in Washington during the season of the cicadas?
It's all the wings.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Well, it's a 17-year locust.
17-year, yeah. That's what it's called, cicadas.
The cicadas are in New Jersey, so screaming when it's hot. It's on that, and she says, like 7 years
ago.
The locusts are in the ground 19
years. But you hear them, hey, Doug. You hear the
cheer. They're very loud.
That's what I told you the
with noise.
Which
wings?
Yes.
The next one is 2021.
Okay, good.
The year, that's the next
we
year.
We heard it this year.
Cicadas?
No, the locusts.
Anyway, Yumiya was well aware of this, so he says that they come out with a cheer. Look, he's got this inside of information about all these the things that are... And he uses them to make predictions of what's going to happen. Okay, Shiloh, would you read Tezvav? It's a great pasuk. Yirmiyahu is just saying, he's taking a break from predictions of what's going to happen to Babel to describe God's majesty and power. There are psukim just like this in Eov and Tehillim. You look familiar? That doesn't even look like an Eov kind of pasuk. It looks like a Tehillim pasuk, right? Yishpot Tebel B'tzedek V'amim Be'manasal. But he's using probably his well-known terminology about God's power. L'kol tito hamon mayim b'shamayim. Mayal nesiim ikte aretz. Nesiim here means clouds. It's used elsewhere in Tanakh that way. Okay. Because they're nasa, they're up in the sky. This also looks like Pesukim Tehillim. Don't be so surprised. Yirmiyahu was probably aware of traditions from Tehillim, not the whole Sefer as it appears. Right, so he's giving references to the might of Hashem. Nivar kol adam midas hovish kol tzoref mipasel ki sheker nisko v'lo ruach bo. How could it be that with God having all this power, yet man chooses to be Nivar? Can you figure the Shorish? Yeah, Ish Bar Lo Yeda. Remember that? Ksil, right. Ksil Lo Yevinesos. Nivar. Nivar means they choose to be foolish. How can you have God has this power and yet we choose to be foolish? Right? And still they make idols. Kishekar Nisko V'Lorach Bom. They pour false molten images. There's no spirit in them. There's no life in them. Hevel Hema Masay Tutu Tatuim. Now he's getting into the... you see the tangents he's taking here. What foolishness do some people... He's turning to his own people probably. That they turn towards Masay Tatuim. The word tattoo is probably somewhat related to this. Yeah. Masay Tatuim means tzel, shikra, sheker, false. Based on the Sim Yavedu, at the time when I visit their iniquity, they'll all be lost. Lo Che'ela Chelek Yaakov. Ki Yotzer HaKol Hu, V'Shevet Nachlaseo HaShem Tzvakol Shemo. This is really beautiful. Twists and turns of the chapter, right? This is not the Chelek of Yaakov. Because when I punish them, they will return afterwards. They will be rehabilitated. Right? They will learn from their punishment and return. They may sin again. They'll sin seven times and rise, but they will always return. See, the key here is to remember the word rehabilitated. Right?
That means because they were habilitated before.
They were once habilitated before, right? You can't be rehabilitated if you were never habilitated to begin with. Now what you're going to see, especially if it's lined up in the...
Right here, yeah.
Okay. Ready? We don't have to say this all in one breath. Okay. V'nipatzti b'cha sus v'rochvo, v'nipatzti b'cha rechav v'rochvo, v'nipatzti b'cha ish v'isha, v'nipatzti b'cha v'zakein v'na, v'nipatzti b'cha b'cho v'tzula, v'nipatzti b'cha roe v'edro, v'nipatzti b'cha ikar v'nitzimdo, v'nipatzti b'cha b'cho sus gunim. Asaris b'nei Haman. So he says all these things that I will... So what is nipatzti? Hafitz means to scatter. Right?
Not like to
smash. So, Mafetzo Biado. Mafetz is a shame, is a kli, which is used to, it's a sledgehammer. Okay? So he says, Nipatzti b'chagoyim, yishchati b'chama malchos. He says, Mapetz atoli, klei milchama. You're right, you have a sledgehammer in order to. So what he means is that Madai, this nation Madai, doesn't refer to Persian Madai, but Madai, let's say Persians and the Medes, are a sledgehammer in God's hand to get wreak vengeance upon these people who destroyed my Hecha. And he describes all the people who will be sledged or hammered. Okay. All of these terminologies we used earlier in the book to describe what's going to happen to Israel. Okay. So I'm going to pay back Babel for all that they had done to Zion. I'm going to be a mountain of destruction for you. Babel had been called earlier a mountain that's just destroying everything in its path, rolling over everything. A mobile mountain. Here it's a mountain of destruction. God will turn his hand, and I'm going to make an avalanche fall from the mountain, and you will be burnt and destroyed. No one will even consider your destruction to be part of a rebuilding process. Like we said, remember the Yirmiyahu's creed in the beginning of the book. The destruction, like a stira almanas livnos. And as we learn in Hilchos Shabbos, when you destroy for the sake of rebuilding, the destruction is part of the building. Right? I'm saying we take down the building because you need the space, you need the bricks, whatever. The stira is one of the building. That's why, even though the Gemara says that makalkel, when you destroy something on Shabbos, it's not a Torah violation, but one of the 39 melachos is still stira, which is to destroy. It's only a malacha, but stira for the sake of rebuilding. Okay, so he says the destruction of Babel is not for the sake of any rebuilding, it's for the sake of the punishment. Sunei sparetz tikushof abagoyim katshu ala agoyim hashmiu ala mamlachos ararat mini v'ashkenaz piktu ala tifsar halusus ki yalak samar. Wow. And he mentions all these places that shall either rejoice in Babel's downfall or take part in helping it happen. Right. Everybody, hope and wish and pray for the success of the Persians and the Medes, because they are the rod of God's wrath to destroy Babel. There'll be an earthquake of all the nations of the world. They will all come upon Babel. Due to Babel, what I plan. Okay, at least would you read Lamed? Chadlu gibarei Babel.
Chadlu gibarei Babel yilachem, yashvu b'mitzadot, nashta gibaratam, hayu l'nashim, hitzitu mishkinoteha, nishbiru b'richeha.
Right, so what can I say? The prophets said these statements doesn't mean doesn't mean to impose any misogynistic type of interpretation. He says the Babylonians become like women, right? It's interesting. Yeshayahu has a similar prophecy, and there, the Targum is creditors. Enemies shall come as creditors, meaning that they'll claim that they own you. So the word up there apparently means no ship. Moshe is a creditor, right? I think his point here is that you'll be too weak to respond.
Also,
Yeah, and that's part of his pun, probably. Noshtok or somebody forgot their Gemara. Interesting. Like Menashe, Ina Noshe. Rots the cross, Rots Yerutz, Magid the cross, Magid. Lagid Lamelach Babel, Kain Nil Kadot Yero Mikotse. Run! Inform, instruct. Hear ye, go like Paul Revere on his horse, and announce to the public, announce to everybody, Babel is destroyed. Okay, Carol, would you read 32 and 33 together?
And the boards of cities and the castles, they have burned with fire, and the men of war are affrighted. For this saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. The daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor at the time when it is trodden. Yet a little while, and the time of harvest shall come for her.
Read one more.
Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath set me down as an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled the straw with my delicacies. He hath washed me clean.
Okay. That's a long puzzle. So basically, we're up to the point where he's justifying why these things should happen to the Babylonians. Because look what they did to us. The Babylonian says, enough already, too much. He goes, yeah, well, wait a second. Did you get this? Did you suffer for that indignity that you imposed on someone else? So he says, he's using quite a few metaphors, and he uses that you are like a silo, that's the word, where the grain is being threshed. People will crush you beneath their feet. Okay? As you did to us, will happen to you. Chamasi u'sheiri, pasuk lam, hey, al bavel, tomar yosheves tzion, v'domi el yoshevei kastim, tomar yushalayim. My anger is upon the... He screams, my anger is upon Babel. V'domi, right? Domi means Adom Sheli, with my blood. My blood has been spilled because of the constant. Therefore, I will fight for you. I will dry up their Euphrates, I will dry up all of their sources and foundations. Think of Parshas Baloska, Shlach, Korach, and Chukas. Those four Parshios, there's so much sinning. Kibros HaTava, complaints about the Mun, and Meraglim, Korach's revolt, complaining at the well. In each case, there's punishment, right? What comes on the heels of all four of those Parshios? Someone on the outside wants to cause us harm. Hashem says, yes, that's my brother picking on him. I said that to Josh on a Friday night recently. In other words, when they do wrong, I'll discipline them. It's for me to do. But when someone on the outside picks on them, even right after I just punished them, I'm not going to stand for that. You ever hear that? The brother beats up his brother all the time. But when a bully in the schoolyard tries to beat up on my brother, no. Only I beat him up. All right, so let's do Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Start again, Steve. So Bava will be like Galim. That means heaps. Meaning heaps that are.
No.
Okay. So I will make Babel into be like a city of heaps and a place where jackals run wild.
That's good.
Okay. Shreka, na'in yoshev. What does shreka here mean? So it can be from the word rak, shetrak, right? Shreka is also the word for whistling. When people look at you, whoa, what's happening? be a cause of triggers. So that's a terminology that happened in this, that already appeared in this book.
Well, like howling dogs.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, but that's a sign of the desolation. They will all roar like lions upon their prey when they come to wipe out Babel. Wow, this pasuk is exactly Daniel Perek Hey. I will cause them to be complacent in their drunken state. They will not be prepared for the enemy when they come. See, this is, you have to read Daniel chapter 5 together with Yirmiyahu chapter 51 to understand the prophecy and the fulfillment. It's mamish one after the other. I'll bring them down like fat sheep for the slaughter. Kelim imatudim, these are other types of fat animals. Ich nukadosh sheshach, batita face tilas kol haaretz. Ich haysol shama bovel bagoyim. Sheshach is a poetic way of saying bovel. It's atbash, right? The shin and the shin are both substituted for two bases, and the chav for a lot. Right? Okay. Ola al bovel hayam. The water shall rise upon bovel. Earlier in this book, twice, Yirmiyahu spoke about God giving boundaries for the water. Right? Baruch Hinashi talks about that also. The earth is 78% water. Why doesn't the water just take over? I mean, they're saying that it, you know, it will if we're in, you know, the ice caps melt or things like that. But the fact is that Hashem has given boundaries. Water stay there, don't go too far up. The tides might change 20, 30, 50 feet, but it's going to stay as it, largely as it is, but not for these guys. These guys, it's going to break all the levees.
Well, you know, your rock is very low, so yeah. If you look at a map of altitude, all the way up the Tigris and Euphrates Delta, it's some like 100 feet, even some 100 miles inland. So
the
water were to go up 100 feet or so, a lot of
Iraqi
countries in the south
as well. That's exactly what he's saying here. Right? Bahamon, Galav, Nichsasa. Many waves of water will cover it. Yira l'shama, Eretz Tziyavah Rabah. Eretz lo yishev bahen kol ish, lo yavor bahen ben adam. No one will even be able to live there anymore afterwards. Ufakadati al Baal. Now Baal is actually the name of a god of Babel. Baal Shatzar. Right, so that's what he's saying here. I will take my vengeance out on Baal. It's not common for biblical prophets to make reference to such specific gods. Yeah, Kamosh Melech Moab, but he was making a proper god of the name of Baba. So it says he has Bilo Mipiv. Bilo from the Lashon Bala. What they swallowed, naming all the other nations, I'm going to grip it out of their mouth, that which they swallow. No nations shall stream to Babel like they did before. And I'll also take down their walls. Leave them. Now this is clearly a prophetic statement for the future, right? Because as far as Yirmiyahu is concerned, they're just being taken there. He's exhorting them, as does Yeshayahu, to leave this place at some point. So they're not staying there forever. They want to leave. Now, sadly, too many Jews did stay. Created quite a bit of a community there. Hence the Babylonian Talmud. Upen yirach levavchem v'tziru b'shmua hanishmas baretz. If these are the bad things are waiting to happen to you if you stay. Okay, there's violence, there's danger, there is a bad future for you. I need for you to come back. What did ultimately happen? A very paltry 42,360 people came back. Upon which what can you blame that? They had a good life in Persia. Not only that, one of their own was a pretty big shot there. Remember his name? Mordechai Yehudi, the end last book, it says he did great things for his people, and that he was beloved of, remember the Lashon in the Pasuk? Rov Echov. he was beloved by most of his people. Just say by his people, that would have been nice. You know, Ratzuri Lechov. It's for the Rov Echov. Pirish Memenu Mikza Sanhedrin, the Gemara says. They didn't happy that a Jew was in such a high power. I mean, I know people who didn't vote for Gore Lieberman because they didn't want a Jew in such a high, in such a high place.
Then everything becomes a that. Jewish issue.
Yeah.
Or is Jewish?
No, Lieberman.
Lieberman was.
Lieberman. Then everything becomes the Jews' fault. You favor the Jews
and
everything.
Of course, it's always been that
this
way.
This isn't our country.
It's always okay. been that way.
All right. Lochein inei amim boim v'fakadati al pesili bavel v'cholatzot tevosh v'chol chalel yiplu b'socha. I'm going to take my vengeance out on Babel, and all of her idols shall fall, and everything she put her faith in will fall with it. Please, would you read Memchez for Rinanu al Babel, Shemayim
Ba'aretz? For Rinanu al Babel, Shemayim Ba'aretz, B'chal Hashem Ba'hem, Ki Mitzafon Yavol, Wa Hashem
Yavim Hashem. So, everyone shall rejoice when this happens to Babel. Everybody be so happy. Come from the north. Remember the north? Because Ki Mitzafon Tipatach Ha'ra'ah. Right? Remember all the evil that's coming from the north? Well, wait till you see what's happening from the north of you. Mm-hmm. Right? They'll all be showed to him. They'll all come to easy pickings. Gam Bavel in Pol Chalalei Yisrael. Gam Bavel naflu Chalalei Kol Aretz. The Chalalim that Bavel made, their own people shall feel those that fall from the sword. Pletim Mecherab Hilchu Al Tamodu. Zichu Merachokes Hashem V'Yushalayim Talei Al Avavchem. Jews who have survived the sword of Bavel. You're here, you're alive. You have to go back to Israel one day. Go back and rebuild Yerushalayim. This is Yirmiyahu's way of preparing the path for what Zechariah will do. So if he asked the question, was Yirmiyahu a successful Navi? And you'd say, what would be the success of Yirmiyahu?
Getting people to
he may have been able
to save the Mikdash, save the kingdoms, right? Right. Sorry, it becomes so bad that it's a wall that has to be destroyed before being rebuilt. You can't just be a sucker and forgive every time. There'll be no lesson learned. Yirmiyahu's success is that they returned 70 years later because of his promise. There are prophets that indicate that they gave up hope because they didn't know when it started, so they thought it was over 20 years before, and they were losing faith that it would ever happen. Haggai says that people are not returning in good numbers, and they didn't return in great numbers, but they did. They did return. They did have prophets who reminded them of Yirmiyahu's promises, and that in itself, the successes that we're learning his book. The smart money in Yirmiyahu's day was on Hananiah ben Azur, not on Yirmiyahu. Right? Of course, it was stupid money, but in the end, but I'm saying that the people thought that. Boshnu ki shamanu cherpa ki sesachli mapaneinu ki ba'u zarim al mikdashei beis Hashem. Be very, very, very shamed because of all of what your treachery that you visited upon a God's holy house. L'chein yinei yambim ba'im neum Hashem ufakadati al psilehu v'chol arzo yenok halol. Enok anak means to cry out. Yitzak. Okay, so I'll take my vengeance out on all of her idols, and everyone will scream out. And you know why I'm rushing to finish this before Tisha B'Av, because you're not allowed to learn this chapter on Tisha B'Av.
Is this the Nechama part?
Right, because the fall of Bavel is not part of Yirmiyahu you'll have to learn.
Why not?
Because it's the fall of Israel is the most of the book, but the fall of Bavel is
the end.
But chapter 52, like we're going to do next week, is goes back to describe the fall of Yerushalayim.
Next week's Tisha B'Av.
Yes, we're going to learn it on Tisha B'Av.
Oh, you're allowed to?
Allowed to, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, another
12 o'clock
historical figures use the story of the Jews of Bavel. For example, I know that Verdi wrote an opera called Nabucco.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And there is a chorus of the Jews as they leave Bavel.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the waters of Babylon, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Right. We're not finished. I'm still going to do a few more psukim. Kol zakomi Bavel, v'shever gadol meretz kastim. This great cry of defeat from Babel. He showed Hashem as Babel. He bad mimena kol gadol. Babel has been violence has been done to Babel. Nunhei 55. Bad mimena kol gadol. No one can scream, call out in any rejoicing from Babel. Bahamuga leim kemayim rabim nitan shaon kolam. Again, a lot of imagery in Perek Nun Aleph to the waves of the Euphrates, and with Steve's additional topographical data. It understand how the waves of literally of the Euphrates shall overcome you. Gibor al Babel shodeid v'nilkadu gibarei chitasok hashsosan ki el gmulos Hashem shalem yishalem. All this violence shall be done to you. All of your mighty ones shall fall. Your bows shall be frozen. You won't be able to use them, because God is a God of gmul. Recompense. He's a God who pays back. Shalem yishalem. V'hishkarti shareha v'chachameha pachoseha v'uskaneha v'gibareha v'yashnu shnas olam v'lo yakitzu. This is, again, harping back to what happened that night. They were all drunk. In drunken stupor. Ma'melech Hashem tzvekoshimo. You made a story about, I can't remember the name of the general. But when George Washington came on Trenton. It was December 25th, the night of December 25th, right? And the Hessians and the British were playing poker and getting drunk. And one farmer got word that George Washington was on his way. He actually wrote the message down on a piece of paper and brought it into the room where they were having this revelry. And the general refused to read it. Pardon me the trivialities. And he said, "We're having a good time. It's December 25th. Wow. I'm not sure. Just read it someplace. And George Washington, history tells us, came in unannounced and surprised them and really wiped them out. By the time he came there, they were so drunk in the morning of Gretschmach that they were not in a position to defend themselves. Right, but yet he read it, and as the story I heard it is that he actually did read it afterwards some days later.
Wow.
So it folded up in his pocket.
That's why New Jersey Transit.
Mm-hmm. You know, Hashem made many, many different things happen. You put your money on who's going to win this battle. It just wouldn't have been on these Patriots.
Hal at one point stopped for tea in the Battle of the Brandywine. That almost cost the British that
battle.
Everyone had
tea. Yeah. That's right.
Where'd
you get that
thing? I don't know. She must have been playing it by that time you had a message.
Okay. So, Kol Amar Hashem Tzvakos, Chomos Babel HaRachaba, Ar Eretis Ar Ar, Usharea HaGohim Ba'esh Yitzatu, Yigu Amim B'dei Rik, Ulamim B'dei Eish V'yayfu. This Yirmiyahu has really turned from someone who said Lo Yadati Daber Kinara Nochi. This is just brilliant rhetoric. I've said it before. I've said it week after week now. But his diatribes against the nations are just brilliant Hebrew, brilliant metaphor and alliteration and puns. I'll awaken the objectors. To awaken the same word as those who come to complain about what you're doing. So I'll destroy all her high cliffs and all her high gates. Hadavar asher tziva Yirmiyahu hanavi al Sroya ben Neriya ben Machseya melechto et Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda Bavel b'shnas ha-reviz l'mocho u'sroya sar manucha. Look at this. Going back to the history. Right? This is the place to stop here. It's right here. Even though the Christians made a whole messed up with where they end the chapter here. You know, Christians assigned the chapter numbers. This is not where I would have assigned the chapter number. I would have ended the chapter right here.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, I expect to get up to this at 12 noon. All right.
Okay.
approximately 12 noon. I have to say that if I'm up to it at 10 to 12, maybe I'll tell some stories, but, you know, it would take 5 to 10 minutes. But that's the point, is from Pasuk Nun Tes, to continue and finish the Sefer. And you know, we'll make a seal on Tisha, but we'll have to wait till after the fast to eat something. And we'll make a seal here tonight.